All right, let's open our Bibles this evening to Genesis chapter 28. We're going to continue about wisdom and guidance. We have, in the past month, been looking at different ways that God guides the believer. You know, though we're turning in Genesis 28, Jesus said in John chapter 10, "My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. And the voice of a stranger, they will not follow." Amen. How many of y'all consider yourself a sheep of Jesus, the shepherd? Amen to that. And I trust, you know, I've heard his voice. I know his voice. I've heard it so often. And often it never is for personal comfort. How many of y'all know the Lord doesn't speak to you to feather your nest? He speaks to you to stretch you, to grow you more in him and make us more better servants. And to honor him in all that we do. So, but we've been speaking of several things. We've spoken of the still small voice. Who's ever had the still small voice? It's just an inner voice that you hear and you recognize it. He also leads. One of the more common ways he leads is through inner peace. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 3, I believe it's verse 16, that says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart." That word "rule" in the Greek means to umpire. What does an umpire do in a game? It calls the shots. So when we are led by the Lord, we must always remember this, that the Lord will lead us by peace, never by pressure. If you're pressured to make a decision, if you're pressured to do something, that is not the Lord, that is the devil. The Lord leads, the Lord does not drive. But he leads through peace. Okay, we are to let that peace be the one prominent determining factor in guiding us. Now, we also spoke of open doors, closed doors. But we looked at that scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 where Paul the Apostle said, you know, the Lord opened the door for me, but he said, but I had no inner peace. Therefore, I moved on and left that door open. Now, that says to me that the Lord can open options for us, doors, that we don't necessarily, just because the Lord opens the door does not mean we have to walk through that if we don't have inner peace. Can I get a witness? Amen. Terry, is this meat, brother? I love Terry because he always shoots it straight. You know, when one time we were at his house and we were grilling and he's like, "Pastor Joe, I'm going to tell you the truth. I didn't know what to think of you when you first came to church, you know, to be our pastor. And I even told myself, if this cat doesn't serve up meat, spiritual meat, I'm out of here." And so I asked him, I said, "Terry, remember that? I'm not making this up, am I, brother?" And I said, "Brother, so what do you think now?" He's like, "You serve up the meat." Chef Boyarjoe. All right. We're having fun, right, Miss Nolan? All right. Whole nother level. I'm gonna tamp it down. So anyway, we like to have fun, don't we, Brother Law? So we have to have that inner peace. Now, we set open doors. Now, I want us to look at a couple things that we don't always consider when being guided by the Lord. First off, we are guided by this, his word. And any other form of guidance will always accord or fall in line with the word. And if it does not fall in line with the word of God, it is not of the Lord. Amen. Now, I remember once a preacher saying that a young man went up to him and he said, "Pastor," he said, "I'm new to this church and I want you to pray for me. I have my eye." He said, I want you to pray that a certain girl will fall in love with me and marry me." And he's like, "Well, do you have someone in mind?" He's like, "Well, that worship leader over there," he said, "I really like her and I want her to fall in love. So I want you to pray, Pastor." He's like, "No, I'm not going to pray that she fall in love with you. Number one," he says, "she has a will of her own. Number two, she's already married." How many of y'all know that one of the Ten Commandments says, "Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife"? Amen. Right? So God ain't going to bless that covetous prayer. And so anyway, that guy got a wake-up call. Tonight, I want us to look at post-encounter revelation. post-encounter revelation. I learned this about 10 years ago. I remember a church member at the time came up to me and he said, Pastor Joe, I want you to hear this. Okay, so I listened to it, and I was blown away by the wisdom in that particular cassette tape. And so I'm going to share parts of what I learned. I don't have the cassette tape. I don't think I've had it in my possession for years. But I want to share the truth that I learned in that. So we're in Genesis chapter 28. Genesis chapter 28. Let's jump into verse 10. Jacob has a dream. He's on the run because his brother Esau is miffed at him and he's out to kill him. Now Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. So he came to a certain place and stayed there all night because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of that place and put it at his head, and he lay down in that place to sleep. Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven. And there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and your descendants. Also your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and the east, to the north and the south. And in you and in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Behold, I am with you, and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, notice what he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. Wow. Who can ever say that you have had an encounter with God, and at the moment you had that encounter with God, you did not recognize it as an encounter with God, that given time passed, and then you begin to realize, whoa, wait a minute. The Lord, the presence of the Lord was in that place, and I did not know it. By a show of hands, I can raise my hand. I've been there where, you know, the Lord does something, and for whatever reason, at the moment, we don't pick up on it. We don't fully understand. And can we just be honest with ourselves this evening, is that sometimes the Lord manifests his presence in such a powerful, mountain-moving way that it'll take days, weeks, months, or even years to unpack? Can I get a witness, please? Right? I mean, he's that infinite. He is that infinite of a God that the Lord can do a work in a couple of seconds that'll take a long time to fully wrap our minds around and to fully appreciate. And that's what's happening to Jacob here. He says, the presence of the Lord was in this place. Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? Who can say after the fact that when something happened, you would say, whoa, that was awesome. It's done and over with. But can we say, whoa, that was awesome. The Lord was truly in this place. And that's what Jacob's saying. He says here, this is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Now, he goes on to call it Bethel. Bethel means the house of God. Who has ever had Bethel moments? How many of y'all believe that the house of God is more than just a building? Amen. The house of God is when he manifests, when heaven intersects earth, and God manifests himself to us, speaks to us in a very profound way. That, at that moment, that becomes the house of God and the gateway to heaven. It is very profound. Do not dismiss these. But notice, the point of what I call the post-encounter revelation is that during the encounter, it might not be, you might not understand that it is God, but with time, you begin to realize, whoa, that was God. I remember I was teaching this once, and I had a friend that went to heaven just a couple weeks ago, and I'm going to miss him like crazy. We used to do things all the time. And I'm telling you, out of my, it's getting to be 30 years of full-time ministry as a pastor, no one argued with me more about the Bible than this brother who's in heaven now. Dave, he loved a good argument. I mean, and he would do it in front of the church. One time I had to tell him, because he said, I remember one time vividly, in front of the whole class. I mean, we were friends, and I understood, but he was an arguer. And he said, "You suck as a Bible teacher." And I said, he told me that. I'm just being honest. We're having fun, right, Miss Nola? He told me that. "You suck as a..." In front of the whole class. And I pulled him aside after class and said, "Brother, don't do that. I have the respect of the class, and I don't think that goes over real well." So, you know, he was fine. But he would show me his disdain when I would prove things to him scripturally, because he would have this folded arm mentality that you can't prove it from scripture. And I was teaching this, and he's like, "Show me in scripture." So I showed him. I said, I'm going to do you a favor, Dave. I'm going to show you Old Testament, and I'm going to show you New Testament. So I showed him, and he's like, because he had been had. And it went on like this. I loved having him, because I always kept him silent when I shared all the scriptures. Oh, Dave, I love you. I'm sure Jesus is correcting you now. All right, let's move on. Go with me to Luke chapter 24, please. Luke chapter 24, post-encounter revelation. Let's look at the two guys that were on the road to Emmaus. Verse 13. "Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. So it was while they conversed and reasoned that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him." Notice that. Their eyes were restrained so that these cats could not recognize Jesus. Verse 17, "And he said to them, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad? Then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem, and have you not known the things which have happened there in these days? And he said to them, what things? And they said to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. Then he said to them, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and enter his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning him." How many of y'all would love a 7-mile teaching of Jesus in the Old Testament by Jesus himself? Wow. These guys got it. Verse 28, "Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone farther. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass that as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he did what? He vanished or disappeared from their sight." And notice verse 32. This is what we call the post-encounter revelation. "And they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us?" What is that? That is the aha moment after the moment. Does that make sense? That is a post-encounter revelation. Post-encounter revelation. Revelation can be happening in our midst. How many of y'all have ever gone through a very difficult time, and once that difficult time was over, you look back and you said, the Lord was good to me. The Lord was faithful. His manifest presence was sweet to me. And I felt closer to the Lord during that difficult time. You didn't say it during that difficult time. You said it in retrospect, post-encounter revelation. Now, let me share one that I had experienced. Back in 1995, my ex's family was having a big get-together in Michigan, and we lived in Northwest Kansas, so we took our semi-new van, and we drove all our three girls. Gabby was just an infant, and we went that summer to Michigan. We drove all the way across Kansas, across Missouri, across Missouri, and then across Indiana and up to Michigan, and we spent the summer there. Well, on the drive back, we were driving by Kansas City heading back to Kansas, and there was a truck ahead of us that was hauling junk stuff, okay? And I remember I'm driving, and next thing I know, one of the bars, it was like a bar, a metallic bar, that it jostled out of the little whatever it was that it was hauling on the back. It jostled out and bounced and went under the van, and I heard a sound, kunk. And I kept driving, and pretty soon I began to smell gas. Well, we pulled over. Well, it punctured the gas tank. Did not think much of it. We didn't have cell phones then back then, but I went to use the phone on a, you know, remember those you put quarters in and you could dial? So we called a person that could fix that, a welder, and thankfully they got it done in about a couple hour time. They had to empty out the it wasn't that expensive gas back then, but empty out the gas, weld it, let it dry, and then have some gas in it, and then we were back on our way. Well, fast forward a couple years after that event, and I'm reading a book on why tragedy happens, kind of like part of what we were discussing this morning about why some people suffer and others don't suffer to that level. And I was reading, and they were talking about a Christian man, a Christian husband and wife that were hauling their kids in a van, and the same thing happened. You know, I didn't think much of the consequences of a rod puncturing our gas tank, but it happened to them, and the van exploded. Killed all the kids, killed the wife, the husband lived. And I can tell you, when I read that, I put that book down. Because to me, what had happened a couple years before then seemed inconsequential. It's like, oh, no big deal. I did not know that that metallic thing had the potential to cause our van to explode, because it can create a spark, right, Terry? Right, Gene? Can create a spark. And with all that gas, well, you're toast. And I cannot tell you the overwhelming feeling. I felt the presence of God. In fact, I teared up and I said, Lord, the presence of God was in that place. And we did not know it. See, post-encounter revelation, it's powerful. And to me, I mean, that was the house of God for me. It was my little Bethel moment. Who's ever had Bethel moments? Amen. Treasure them always. Never forget what the Lord has done for you, because as you treasure them, when there lay battles ahead of you, you're going to need that ammo to gird yourself up with the full armor of God as you walk into that upcoming difficulty. All right. Next thing, the last thing I want to discuss in terms of guidance is dreams and visions. You know, we looked at Jacob having a dream. We've done extensive study on dreams and visions. I have dreams all the time. Let me say here, God, not every dream I have is from God. In fact, very, very few of the dreams that I have are from God. But I have learned that I can learn about myself if I listen to my dreams, because it's my subconscious speaking to me when it's quiet. And I can tell you some of the recurring dreams that I have. I would say listen to your dreams, because it might not always be the Lord speaking to you, but sometimes the Lord does speak to you. Like I had a dream last night, and I shared it on social media, you know, and that was, I was in a building, a church, not this church building. It was not this church. It was people I'd never met. And I was in a church building I'd never been in. And in fact, the podium was to the left. It had a straight stage, and the rows were straight. They were not angled like they are here. And I was sitting about in the second row, and I was ready to preach. I remember the feeling I had in the dream that I was pumped. I was ready to minister God's word. I was going to set the place on fire. And then this guy goes up to the pulpit, a guy I've never seen, kind of bald, thin, and begins to talk. And he is boring as all get out. Boring. And in the dream, there was no emphasis on what he was saying. He was saying nothing. Well, 5 minutes of that, I thought that maybe somehow he was going to make a surprise announcement, or we're going to applaud Pastor Joe for this, or, you know, pastor's appreciation or something. Nope. And he went on, and after 5 minutes of that, I raised my hand and I said, am I going to speak this morning? And he looked at me and he said, no. Well, when he said no, well, all a third of the church, all young families left the church at that moment. Part of me was going, yes. But then I remember, I'm being honest, guys. You know me. We're having fun, right? Whole nother level. But I was really put out. I remember in the dream, I was fuming because I said, this is shoddy communication. This is poor communication. This is horrible. They should have let me know. I'm the pastor. And this guy, whom I've never met, never seen before, began to pontificate from the pulpit and carry with such authority in his own mind. And then I woke up, and I was mad when I woke up. I woke up mad. I'm like, how dare he? And I put it on social media. I thought Scott had a pretty good interpretation. He said, you know, he said, you have every right to be, indignant. He said, because it could be that people are not preaching the truth these days, and the real church, the true believers, a third of the true believers left because they were not going to put up with that false teaching. And that really made a lot of sense to me, and that could be the message that the Lord was trying to communicate to me. All right, now when the Lord speaks in dreams, everybody look up here. The words of life are up here. They're not out there. I promise you, if someone comes in with 6 arms and 10 eyes in his face, I will stop the service and I'll say, yo, check that out. But until then, the Lord's words are up here, okay? Thank you, class. Don't let me take my ruler out, walk around and smack people in the hand. And where was I? Sorry. And I had that dream, but the Lord speaks through dreams and visions. And we've got to pay attention. And if we need to ask for an interpretation, ask for an interpretation. I believe that it is New Testament. You know, Pilate's wife had a dream. She was warned in a dream. Joseph was warned in a dream to relate to Pharaoh. Dreams are part of God's method of communication. In fact, many years ago, the pastor of the largest church to this day, Dr. Paul Young Hee Cho, he went by a different doctor. He was originally Dr. David Young Hee Cho. He's a pastor of the largest church. They have about 800,000 people that attend his church. 800 in South Korea. DMZ, demilitarized zone. And they pray that North Korea, he has got a mountain up there that they call Prayer Mountain, and they pray that the North Koreans won't come and invade them. And he attributes the growth of his church to prayer. But I remember hearing him one time. He went to speak at Oral Roberts University, and he made a statement I've never forgotten. And then after that statement that he made, I fell asleep. You know, here was I, an aspiring pastor of a church, setting to be a pastor, and here's the pastor with the largest church in the world, and I fall asleep. So if I see you nodding off, I'll say, hey, there's hope for you. Anyway, we're having fun. But anyway, he said, dreams and visions are the language of the Holy Spirit. I've never forgotten that. Dreams and visions are the language of the Holy Spirit. Once again, it's got to line up with the Word of God, doesn't it? But God is a very imaginative communicator, and He gives us a myriad of ways. How many of y'all believe that God is on our side, and when God wants to get a message across to us, He's going to get that message across to us? Amen? I mean, remember Balaam, the prophet? What happened to his donkey? Yeah, because Balaam was smacking him. He's like, go here. He's like, and finally the donkey said, yo, dude, chill out. You're not supposed to go there. So if the Lord wants to get something through to you, man, He's going to talk to us, right? Has this been a good message?
Amen.
All right, good. I want to make it practical, church family, but I know that the Lord speaks. He's a talking kind of God, and always in accord, always in agreement with His Word. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for this time together. Thank You for Your love for us, Lord God. Thank You for the way You speak to us. You're such an imaginative communicator. Thank You for Your Word, Father. It is foremost, far and away, the primary method You speak to us through. And I thank You, Lord God, for these Your precious people. I pray, Lord, that they're fed well, that they're always on solid ground in the Word that is taught and preached here. We thank You for it. Give You all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.